Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Atlanta Legal Experts. I'm Emily Rowell, your host with Peachtree Offices. And welcome this morning. We have four wonderful experts today. And we also have our wonderful Rich Casanova.
Not an expert, by the way. Yeah. Just to clarify for the legal reasons, right?
You actually could be now, I think.
Yeah, in radio, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not from legal standpoint. Although after you've been hosting the show well over a year now, don't tell the other people in the studio, but I think we could throw around some legal jargon, almost sound like we know what we're talking about, right?
I think so. I probably couldn't pass the bar, though.
Yeah. That's the tough
Definitely
part.
Not. So this morning we have Ken Hodges with Ken Hodges Law. Good morning. How
Good morning,
are you?
Emily. Good. Great. Thanks.
Good. And Alex Brown. Welcome back, Alex.
Thanks, Emily. Good morning.
Returning guest. So I guess we're doing a pretty decent job, huh?
Yeah,
people are coming
so.
Back for more.
And he's with Bagwell and Associates. We have Michael Rafe with Butler Tobin.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And we have Lance Gowans with the Gowans Law Firm.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. And our show is brought to you by some wonderful sponsors, Peachtree Offices, of course, 3A Law Practice Management, and Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. So thanks again for tuning in this week. And we will start with Mr. Hodges. Thank you so much for coming today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Mr. Hodges is former Daugherty County District Attorney and 2010 Democratic candidate for Attorney General. He has tried and won hundreds of cases before Georgia juries and now applies his dedication and trial skills at Ken Hodges Law, a practice with offices in Atlanta and Albany focused on commercial litigation, personal injury, criminal defense, civil rights, government investigations, and RICO matters. Ken was most recently named 2015 Super Lawyer by Georgia Trend Magazine and is rated AV, the highest rating given by Martindale Hubbell, and is rated 10 plus the highest rating from AVVO, two preeminent national legal ranking systems. Ken has been widely recognized for his legal and civic accomplishments during his 25 years as a practicing attorney, including as the 2013 recipient of the State Bar's Commitment to Equality Award. He serves on the Executive Committee for the State Bar Association and is a graduate of Episcopal High School in Washington, D.C. He earned his undergraduate degree at Emory University and his J.D. at the University of Georgia's School of Law. Wow, definitely an expert. Thank you so much for being here today.
My wife wrote that last night.
She loves you.
She does.
And, you know, and it's perfect for this show, obviously. And you can also see the rest of his bio and all of his information at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. So tell me, first of all, how did you get into where you are today? I gave you a little bit of a background, but tell us more.
Well, it's a long story, but the short story is after moving to Atlanta, I grew up in Albany and started my practice in Atlanta, actually right across the street at the Atlanta Financial Center. Ended up going back home to be a prosecutor, was a career prosecutor for a while, moved back to Atlanta, tried a number of firms, including a large national firm, but decided I just wanted to do it myself and help people. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was driving back from a vacation in North Carolina, got a phone call that somebody needed to be in magistrate court at 6 o'clock last night over in DeKalb Courthouse.
Oh, wow.
I ran home, barely got my suit on and got over there and got to magistrate court for them and helped them out. So I just love helping people.
And still made it this morning. Thank you. So that's number one, of course.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of our attorneys say, you know, and that's why they originally want to go into law.
Sure.
So tell me, what is the importance of hiring an attorney, even for what might seem like a relatively minor infraction?
Well, I mean, just like I was mentioning last night, you may have seen it on the news. There were three security guards at a mall in DeKalb County who got in a fight with some juveniles about, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And they've taken out cross warrants at a warrant application hearing. And had they not reached out to me yesterday to go into court with them, they very well, one of them may have been under arrest today. The other ones have the warrant application hearings next week. I'm going to go back for that. I'm doing a criminal investigation up in Cobb County where the DA's office is looking into some misappropriation of monies. Right now, I'm certain that my clients didn't do it. But when they are being interviewed by very professional interviewers who are trying to get them to explain what happened. Sometimes people get nervous and they make misstatements and missteps, and they can either protract investigations or end up getting charged for something if they don't have good counsel and legal advice. And so, and sometimes, you know, you represent people whose best interest it is not to communicate with the police. So they need to reach out to a lawyer early. It's better to be proactive. And if I have somebody who reaches out to me and I can't be of help to them, I'll tell them that too. And I don't necessarily want to represent someone I can't help.
Sure. And I'm sure originally just talking to them, or initially, I should say, just talking to them helps them learn just a little bit more, whether you represent them or not, of what they need to do.
Sure. And that was in the criminal context. I'm in the middle of a very messy business divorce right now, where three partners who were three great friends got together a few years ago, formed a technology firm, and everything was great. So, of course, they didn't have any paperwork evidencing the partnership agreement, and nothing if there is an extrication, which there is right now. And so it's a lot more expensive now for them to disassociate themselves from each other than it would have been if they had hired a lawyer from the beginning and had paperwork in place to deal with what they're dealing with now.
It's good advice. So it's easy to call you, I'm sure.
It is. 404-759-6783.
Good. So tell me, you manage some high-profile cases as well. Can you talk about those?
I have. Sure. When I was a prosecutor, I actually was co-counsel in the Sidney Dorsey case, which was the DeKalb County sheriff who had his successor in office assassinated. J. Tom Morgan and I tried that together. After moving up here, I was involved in the litigation against the airport with the vending concessions, represented SSP, which was a great international organization that candidly should be doing business in the airport right now, and they're not. And I represented a state senator, Don Balfour, recently when the attorney general prosecuted him for a misappropriation of monies, and we got 18 not guilty verdicts by the Fulton County jury, which was a fantastic result and the right result. He never should have been prosecuted. It was not certainly not a crime what he did. Mm-hmm. I think the case that I just mentioned, even though it's a small thing in the magistrate court of DeKalb County now, has gotten some news. So I've represented, and I was also on the team that represented Bishop Eddie Long a few years ago in the civil case against him. So high profile cases carry with it the specter of the media, and so it takes a different component. You need to make sure, a lot of times your client will want to get out in the media and talk about it and defend themselves when that may not be in their best interest, because if they make admissions or concessions publicly, it could be used against them later. And I was on the defense team of Stuart Parnell last year, who was the CEO of Peanut Corporation of America, and that got national publicity. It's in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and such. And unfortunately, he was convicted, and he's facing sentencing next month, and he wants to talk publicly about it, and we're still trying to make sure that that doesn't happen until we have the sentencing hearing.
So you take all the attention then?
Well, I try to shift it away from my client and try to make sure the message is right, because if someone doesn't deal with the media often, then they can make missteps, the same as if they don't deal with court very often, they can make missteps.
Sure. So you also ran for office, I explained in the bio, for Attorney General?
I have. I've run four times, three times for district attorney, and was successful in those three races. Once for Attorney General, came in second place, but actually worked out very well for me and my family. And I met great people all across the country, and had my two children born, one during the primary and one during the general election.
Oh, wow.
Which says that elections last far too long. Either that or I didn't campaign hard enough, one of the two.
So you're used to the spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
So you're, if you'll tell me a little bit about like the difference between a solo firm like you and a large firm. And what are the advantages of each?
Well, and that's a good question, and that's the reason I left the large firm. The firm that I left was a great firm, and I enjoyed being with some of the folks that I was with, but they're close to 800 lawyers now. They're all across the country. If I wanted to, there's no way I could have gotten that call at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon and been in court at 6 o'clock last night in a big firm. They just wouldn't allow it. You've got to go through procedures. You've got to get permission. You've got to get in most cases, the money up front. I'm sure I'll get paid on it, but I haven't. And I've done that a lot of times. I represent people on a handshake. I've said I'll be there for you if you need me there, because a lot of times in the law, questions and issues pop up immediately, and you've got to run right there and take care of it.
Sure.
Big firms don't have that flexibility. Right. I'm also negotiable on my fee structure. I can do flat fees. I can do hourly. I can do hybrid. I can do whatever fits the appropriate circumstance. Big firms are a lot more rigid in that, mm-hmm. and they've got set fees, and I have to charge a set amount per hour, and I can't deviate from it, even when it would be appropriate to deviate. And again, getting back to your first question, the reason I became a lawyer is to help people. And if I can't help people, then I don't want to do
point?
It. Right.
Yeah. So. I'm sure a lot of the attorneys here will agree. I see a lot of people nodding their heads.
Yeah. And I don't have a lot of conflict. You know, the big firms, if you represent a big corporation and you've got a friend or, you know, someone that you meet that has an action against that big corporation, you can't do it because someone else in your firm, and maybe they're out in California and they represent the firm, you still can't take on the case.
Right.
You were mentioning other folks in the studio shaking their heads. Talk to about referrals, or where does most of your business or new business come from, or contacts?
A lot of it comes from other lawyers. In fact, I got a referral just yesterday from some lawyers that had a conflict. They could do the work, but they had a conflict. So they, and actually, we're on the opposite side of a case right now. So
okay.
That spoke well that they thought of me, even though we're against each other in the case that we're against each other. But I don't do certain things. For instance, I don't do real estate, and I know that Alex does. And if someone calls me for real estate, I'm going to refer it out. I'm not going to do something that I don't have an expertise in. And likewise, if somebody has a need for something where my niche is, then they need to reach out and bring in somebody that's got the expertise.
Okay. Switching topics a little bit, what about how much mediation or alternative solutions are you involved in on a regular basis? How much of that plays into your practice, I guess, or?
Well, it does. And alternative dispute resolution is a lot more economically feasible for folks. It gets things done quickly. I've done a lot more mediations than I have arbitrations, although I've got an arbitration set 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
And it gets things to court quickly. Court does not always move very quickly. It can take years to get things resolved, whereas mediation you can do in an afternoon. So
right.
I encourage them. I always try to keep an open mind on settlement in any case that I'm involved in.
Right. Well, Ken, it's been a pleasure having you here in the studio. Let our listeners know the best way to get in touch with you and find out about your services and your firm and practice.
Well, the best way would, of course, go to my website, which is www.kenhodgeslaw.com. Okay. Or they can call me at 404-759-6783. Happy to talk to anybody about anything. And if I can't help them, I'll be happy to refer them to Alex, Mike, or Lance, or someone who can.
So they can call you and talk to you about anything, the Braves or the Falcons? Or
as long as they're winning.
Right, exactly. Nice. Well, thanks again. And I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio with your host, Emily Rowell. And Emily, who do you have up next?
I have Alex Brown back for another round.
Good to see you again, Emily.
Yeah, good to see you. I didn't mean to rhyme there.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all of a rap radio, yeah.
I could keep going. No, yeah. So Alex Brown, he practices in the areas of commercial and residential real estate transactions and litigation. He received his degree in 2009 in the top 3% of his class at John Marshall School of Law. Before joining Bagwell and Associates, he worked as an assistant district attorney in the complex case division in Fulton County. He has represented clients at both jury and bench trials in the areas of real estate, foreclosure defense, general civil and felony level criminal litigation, and he is a member of the Georgia State Bar, Georgia Court of Appeals, Georgia Supreme Court, and the United States Supreme Court. Wow. Another expert in our midst. So how did you get into what you're doing today?
It was actually less of a jarring transition than you might think from criminal prosecution into transactional real estate work. I left the prosecutor's office in early 2012. And at that time, I'm sure as you know, the foreclosure crisis was kind of in full swing. And so I decided to go out and do foreclosure defense at that time. So I was representing homeowners that had fallen behind in their mortgages to try to prevent them from being foreclosed on. And that sort of drew the attention of the real estate firm that I'm with now. They wanted to take on a real estate litigation partner, and that ended up being me. And so I did the foreclosure defense thing for about a year and a half until it kind of died off, and then went into a more managerial role with their firm. I do government compliance now, so the new Consumer Finance Protection Bureau regulations that are coming out that are kind of redefining our industry are taking effect in October of this year, and it's been my pleasure to work with Bagwell for the last year to prepare them for that transition.
It's only been a year?
Yeah.
Wow, it seems like longer, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And have you noticed any trends in this industry over the summer?
I have. People are really kind of, you know, with any big government regulation, people kind of aren't sure how to deal with it yet because it's, you know, thousands and thousands of pages and nobody's got any experience with it because it's completely new. So people are redesigning their IT frameworks, their office setup, just the way people are hiring staff and the way their standard operating procedures are working. And every office is doing that a little bit differently. Wow. So within our own offices, we have to redesign those procedures. And then in order to remain compliant, we have to be vetted by at least two third-party auditing firms. And so once you've got the position, once you've got the new operations in place, you then have to kind of run them by auditors like Deloitte. There's an auditor called Secured Settlements that we have to also go through. And it's just, it's been an interesting summer.
Sure. And I bet you're in charge of that in the office.
I am. and with our office too, we've actually had a move this summer, which was great. We bought a building in Buckhead and moved our office in there. So we're right on Piedmont Road now instead of being out in Sandy Springs like we were.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah, kind of a little bit closer to the city.
Yes. Yeah, no 400 to get to work, so that's fantastic.
That's wonderful. So tell me, what is an ABA agreement?
An ABA agreement is an affiliated business arrangement, and they are really prevalent in the real estate industry, and almost nobody knows about them. What it is an attorney will contact, say, a mortgage broker and say, you know, in exchange for you suggesting that I be your closing attorney for all of your transactions, I'll pay you a desk fee, or I'll rent a desk in your office for $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 a month.
Okay.
And those are perfectly legal and they're very common in the industry, but those costs, the attorney's costs get passed on to the clients at settlement. And so you'll typically see those attorneys' closing fees being several hundred dollars higher than people who don't have ABA agreements.
Gotcha.
It's also actually recently very interesting because Wells Fargo, just with the way that the new CFPB regulations are going to work out, has dumped all of their ABA agreements. And Wells Fargo being one of the big four banks and usually a leader when it comes to rule implementation, sort of leads the field with decisions like that. I'm very interested to see how the rest of the banks respond.
Right. Wow. That's huge. So tell me, what do you recommend buyers to do? Or what do you recommend they do to protect their interests when they close?
Well, it really depends on whether they are closing with a lender or whether they're just financing their own transaction. Most people don't know that whenever a closing attorney does a closing and there's a lender involved, the closing attorney actually doesn't represent the buyer or the seller. They represent the lender. And so in that case, the closing attorney is representing a lender. The lender is, you know, working towards the best interest of the buyer in most cases, since they are their, you know, their client.
Sure.
And so in that case, the closing attorney really sort of represents both, even though the actual representation is of the lender.
The lender.
When you're working just as a cash purchaser, a lot of times people will go and get their own counsel as they go into the closing, just to make sure that that everything is being looked at objectively. And so depending on how comfortable you feel with your closing attorney, that's sometimes an option. But just generally, working with a good closing attorney, an attorney's office that is both regulatory compliant, but that also can prove, they've been around for a little while in the area that you're practicing. Because the closing attorney's main job really is to spot title defects. And so as long as you're familiar with the actual area that you're practicing, most areas... types of title defects are very specific. If you go to some place like Savannah, say they have to deal a lot with flood, where as in Atlanta, you know, you have to deal a lot with, say, zoning.
Right.
And so it's really making sure that you're working with a professional in the area where you are.
So getting a second opinion, is that?
You could get a second opinion. In practice, most closing attorneys make their money by also writing title insurance.
Okay.
And title insurance guarantees that you've got a free title. It's kind of like homeowner's insurance, but as it relates to title. And the reason that that guarantees that they do a good job is because if the closing attorney misses something, their title underwriter is going to come back to them and say, you know, you're going to pay out this claim. So
right.
If I miss something on a title insurance policy I write, that money comes out of my pocket.
Gotcha.
And so
okay.
Those titles are right.
It's a little more assurance.
Yeah.
Got it. So do you have any agent referrals that you would use if you were buying or selling?
I do. It depends on really where you're buying. It's really regionally specific.
Okay.
If I was buying in town, there's a great agent at Palmer House Properties named Eric Simeone. He's absolutely fantastic, especially with luxury properties. In North Atlanta, a guy with Keller Williams named Dave McEachern, especially if you're looking at commercial properties as well, that's sort of his bread and butter, and he really does a great job with them. Commercial properties are kind of their own little world, and so you've got to get somebody that's used to dealing with them.
Sure, sure. And you've been a commentator before on some TV shows. Can you talk a little bit about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I have been on actually several TV shows that are filmed here in Atlanta. I regularly appear on HLN as a legal commentator, depending on what they're looking for and what's in the news. It's been a little while since I was there. I was on the Jodi Arias case and the Oscar Pistorius case when they were going through that. I do CNN sometimes as well, and that's sort of in the same capacity. And then with NPR, just as a legal commentator, depending on what they need. I know when there was a case with some embezzlement with a local real estate firm here, and they needed a commentator for that. That was my last contact with NPR.
Fantastic. And now you're on Atlanta Legal Experts
Radio. Yeah, he could
Radio.
Be a commentator here on Buckhead Business Radio, but the 8 o'clock time slot for Tuesday is already taken. So, Alex, so stand down. Yeah. But I do have a couple of questions. Speaking of business and commercial, so commercial and residential, what, you know, is there a percentage? What type of y'all lean more one way or the other as far as commercial real estate?
We lean more residential.
Okay.
Commercial is kind of its own special field. It works completely differently. The paperwork is totally different. And generally, sort of commercial real estate agents and residential agents kind of don't mix.
Okay.
And so we do about 90% residential, 10% commercial.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask more for the commercial standpoint of business, like some of the highest. Is there a sweet spot for y'all as far as type of commercial projects you work on?
It's the ones that are the easiest to work on, I find, are new builds.
Okay.
I mean, if you're getting new builds, you don't have to worry about transferring leases, which can kind of get sticky depending on who's holding the lease.
Right.
If you've got an empty mini mall versus a mini mall with 30 leases in it that's totally leased up, it's a lot easier to deal with.
Absolutely. What about anything outside of Georgia, or you guys are just licensed for here?
We are just in Georgia for the time being. We will be in South Carolina and hopefully Florida by the end of next year.
Nice. All right. Once again, you're listening to Atlanta Legal Experts with your host, Emily Rao.
And we're listening to Alex Brown.
Yeah. And Alex, how would folks get in touch with you and find out about your company and services?
Absolutely. The quickest and most complete way to learn about our firm is on the web. Our website is www.bagwellassociates.com. And that's B-A-G-W-E-L-L, associates, all spelled out, .com. Our direct office line is 678-528-1908, and we'd be happy to talk to you.
All right. Well, thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And let me just remind our listeners that our sponsors for today are Peachtree Offices, 3A Law Practice Management, and Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. So thank you to our sponsors, and thank you for listening today. You can see all of the bios of all of our guests today and the links to the websites of all of our sponsors at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. And next we have Michael Rafe.
Morning, Emma.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And he is a lawyer with the firm Butler Tobin, based in Atlanta. He helps injured people by maximizing the value of their cases. He believes in taking a small number of cases so that he can devote the time, energy, and resources necessary to each and every client. He exclusively handles personal injury cases and focuses on negligent security, trucking, and other serious injury cases. He went to college at Furman University and worked for U.S. Senator and now presidential candidate Lindsey Graham. He then worked for a number of news organizations, including Fox News Channel in New York City and Cox Broadcasting's Washington, D.C. News Bureau. Each day, he helped tell audiences about the challenges faced by individuals and their communities. He was not satisfied just reporting about problems and decided to go to law school so he could solve them instead. So I think you have that in common with the other experts today. He graduated with honors from the University of Georgia School of Law. While in law school, he excelled in both the national moot court and mock trial teams. The law school named Mike the outstanding mock trial advocate of his class. And there's so much more to read, but I'm going to leave it up to you to tell us more. And you can always, again, go on our website, atlantalegalexperts.com. So we know how you got into what you do and why you wanted to help people.
That's right. Solve problems. And that's essentially what a lawyer does. Ken told about some of the problems that he solved. And Alex helps folks with real estate needs. I wish I knew about Alex, 2 weeks ago, I'm closing on a house in 10 days. Could have used some of those referrals because it has not been the easiest process.
Wow.
I'm going to get a second opinion before I leave from him. But that's what lawyers are. Lawyers are problem solvers. Some people don't even know they have a problem. Ken talked about people coming and needing lawyers and not even knowing it. Mm-hmm. And we find that a lot in our business. Most people know that when they get injured that there might be a chance or might be a need for a lawyer. But in a lot of the cases that I handle, folks don't know. And getting the word out, given the restrictions that lawyers have for advertising, given those restrictions, getting the word out for how people should handle their case or their injury, it's difficult sometimes.
Sure. It's about educating. But then again, it's hard too.
Yeah, it is. And you want to promote the industry as best you can. Mm-hmm. Some of the negative ads out there and some of the bad lawyering really hurts good lawyers.
Sure.
But when you do the right thing and you get results for your clients, people generally tend to find out.
So you probably want to go on TV and tell the world, being that you have a journalism background.
No, I stay away from TV as much as I can. Like Ken.
I bet.
And I tell my clients, please do the same. We have a lot of people know about the Merrimack shooting that happened a couple months ago now. We had a guy who was shot by a security guard at Merrimack's restaurant. And we are doing our best to keep him out of television. Luckily, he lives in South Africa, so it's not too difficult.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But we try to stay away from those. We certainly like the cases, but we try to keep our clients on the straight and narrow and devote them their time and energy to what they're good at, which is usually not talking on television.
Or radio.
Yeah, or radio or newspapers or online, anything, to anyone about anything relating to their case.
Especially social media, right?
I represent a guy who I would call, I'd call him more than an aspiring rapper, but less than a successful one. A really nice guy. He was involved in a shooting, a really bad situation. He was shot at an apartment complex. And it's really difficult to get him to not be on social media because that's how he promotes himself. He's on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all those things. And he wants to write music about what happened to him.
Right.
It's his outlet. So keeping folks from talking is very difficult, and it's hard to do to tell someone not to defend themselves in the case of a criminal case or not to talk about their injury if they're mm-hmm. waking up every morning and hurting.
Right. That's your job.
Yeah. Eventually, in front of 12 people and a jury, if it gets down to that, it is.
Right. So you worked and represented large companies in the past. So how does that help you now represent people against the similar companies?
Yeah, I spent 3.5 years working for, defending, and learning how large companies operate. And I worked at one of those large firms that Ken talked about earlier with 800 or 1,000 lawyers now here in Atlanta, an international law firm, though. And Ken's 100% right. You could not possibly get a call at 4:00 and be in court at 6:00 between
sure.
conflicts and getting paid. But what you do learn, and the benefit to me was I learned how those companies think. I learned about their bottom line. And unfortunately, I found that they put profits ahead of people. Mm-hmm. And that's what really spurred my change is that you save a large company $1 million, $2 million, $10 million. That's what you're expected to do. And lawyers like a decent pat on the back every once
mm-hmm.
in a while.
Yeah.
But doing what I do now, which is helping people and solving problems, the personal worth of giving somebody, whether it's $10,000, $100,000, or $10 million, that can change someone's life and change somebody's ability to provide for their family and loved ones.
Can you talk about one of your favorite cases in the general sense so you don't name any names, I guess?
Yeah. We actually, I'll talk about one of my favorite clients at least.
And okay.
I'll tell you, our clients are I mean it when we say that our clients become our friends. We had a gentleman named Sherman Spencer, who is about 50 years old or so, maybe a little bit less. He lives out in a little South Atlanta, and he just went skydiving about a month ago.
Smart.
He jumped out of a plane. He did this after his personal injury case.
Oh my goodness.
And Sherman's struggling. He's in end-stage kidney failure. He's got a tough life, but he's doing all right. He was involved in a car wreck. Mm-hmm. He was driving down I-20 coming in from Conyers, and there was a vehicle. And I won't say the name of the company, but it's a company that we all know and probably have used before. Their driver ran out of gas on I-20 and about midnight parked his vehicle on a travel lane. And the vehicle sat out there because the driver had to go get gas, had to go walk and get gas. And you can excuse that mistake. I think a lot of people... my fiance, if she's listening, has run out of gas before.
Easy there, yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble on that one. But you can excuse that. Well, another lawyer came to us with this case and said, hey, we're at a stopping point. We don't really know what to do. Sherman wasn't extremely happy with how he'd been treated. So we said we'd take a look. And what we ended up finding, we really dig in. I mean, investigating is probably more than 50% of our work.
So he ran into the truck? Or?
Yeah, Sherman was driving down the road, and he ran into this stopped vehicle. And we thought it was just a simple case of a mistake of a guy running out of gas and Sherman then hitting his truck. Well, come to find out, the driver for this company had been driving around with a broken gas gauge for 10 days. Well, that changes
everything. Yeah.
Because you have a company that's supposed to check and make sure that the vehicles are working properly. You have a company that's supposed to check and make sure that its drivers are doing the right thing. And you have a driver who drives the roads of Georgia and should protect the people, not only his customers, but people like me, like you, who maybe aren't their customers, are just traveling down the road, people like Sherman.
Right.
So we had a great result in the case. Luckily, we didn't have to drag it out as long as some other cases. And Sherman was extremely grateful for that. And next thing you know, he's jumping out of a plane and enjoying the things that That's he couldn't great. Have done before this.
I thought at first you were going to say he injured himself jumping out of the plane. And I was like, but there's no case to that.
There's something called an assumption of the risk. And I think you just named it. Jump out of a plane.
Right.
Yeah. You signed probably a million waivers. I'm not doing that anytime soon.
No, I'm never going to do that. So, okay. How does somebody know? This is a great question. If they have a case, like if they jump out of a plane, they know they don't have a case. But,
you know, a lot of times you don't. And that's the tough facts for people. Most people know if you get into a car wreck that you will know if it's the other person's fault and their
Especially,
insurance company
yeah.
or they don't treat you fairly. Most people know I'm going to give a lawyer a call. The cases that I handle a lot of are these negligent security cases. And what those cases are, it's when you're in another person's property, usually a business, that business owner, depending on the circumstances, may have the duty to protect you or at least warn you about bad things that's going on in their business.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you're walking down the mall and the mall owner knows that their stores have been broken into and there's been violent crime and maybe someone's been seriously injured recently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that landowner probably has a duty to either warn the customers out at the mall or provide reasonable and necessary security measures to keep people safe.
Sure.
So what happens is, I mentioned the aspiring rapper that I represent. He's at an apartment complex. He'd never been there before. He gets shot in a robbery.
Mm.
And we come to find out that landlord in that complex had the longest pages of crime I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
But he's just...
not worried about it, apparently.
He's not... Well, he didn't know. He goes to that apartment complex, has no idea. He's just a stupid consumer like me walking through the mall. And that's when people don't know they have our case. So the general rule we say is give a lawyer, even if it's not us, give a lawyer a call. Ask if you think there's something there. And if it's eating away in the back of your mind, don't let it go too far. Ask. You'll sleep better at night. And you may get some good advice.
Sure.
I mean, sometimes you just have that intuition or that gut feeling that something's not right here, but you need that expertise, perspective to take a look at things. Talk to us about besides, referrals or clients, where does your business typically come from or radio, obviously this show, whatever, but the internet or and what are some of your sources, I guess?
Yeah, I'm going to answer your question exactly how you told me not to. Besides right. clients, our number one answer is clients. Our clients are walking billboards for us. We handle very few cases, so our clients, we believe, and I think they believe, more importantly, that they get the treatment that they deserve. And they tell people also, like Ken mentioned, a lot of the lawyers who I've worked with in the past, even on other sides of the case, will come and refer us. We are known for digging deep, investigating as we should, and then getting good results for our clients, whether it's in a mediation and alternative dispute resolution situation or at trial. And we pride ourselves on being trial lawyers, preparing cases for trial, because that's how we believe that we maximize the value for our clients. And in the end, if you're going to get injured, and you go to a lawyer and you're going to go through this process, which may take months, may take years,
right,
the key here is maximize the value. And that's what we do.
What about like associations, or do you do networking, or certain groups that you're members of? Or
yeah, I'm involved in the Atlanta Bar Association, okay, and I'll actually I'll plug a CLE sure we have coming on August 31st through the Atlanta Bar Association, okay, called Specialized to Succeed. It's a CLE put on by another lawyer in our firm, Darren Tobin, who's co-chairing it. I'm speaking. Our third lawyer, Jeb Butler, he's speaking, and we have a roundtable of some great folks, judges, lawyers, from all different walks of life and all different types of businesses and law firms who are going to come and tell folks about the different work that they do, because we are not experts in everything, but we can get you to the right place.
Nice.
I was going to ask you about Darren Tobin, and y'all formed a partnership recently. Is that right?
Yeah, Jeb and Darren opened up Butler Tobin, which is our firm, back in June of last year. So we just hit our 1 year milestone. Some folks got a hopefully humorous email that we sent out recently. If you liked it, then you probably knew us. If you didn't like it, we'll take you off the email list. But so we've been around. We actually all came from three different pretty well-known plaintiffs firms. We came together. I joined up the end of last year, beginning of this year, and we've been working hard for our clients and having a whole lot of fun. I've never had so much fun probably since college, and certainly hadn't had so much fun working since I grouped with those guys.
Good. It sounds like you really love what you're doing.
Yeah, we're having a great time.
And what a great city to be a personal injury attorney in.
Oh, yeah. And I hope you took Ken's advice and you guys have an agreement, something in writing, more than just a handshake amongst the principals, right? Or that's in the
probably
works.
Not.
Or
I'll talk to
Ken. Is that mostly
later
over a
that
beer? Yeah.
I was over maybe two beers. Yeah,
right. And where are y'all located?
We're actually right down the road from the studio here. We're on North Druid Hills near the corner of Buford Highway. And we've been there for the whole time we've been open. So it works for us.
And if you can let the listeners know how they can reach you.
Easiest way to reach us is 404-JUSTICE, 404-JUSTICE. Ooh. And you can find us on butlertobin.com. I will call out Darren Tobin since you mentioned him. The rumor is he had that phone number, 404-JUSTICE, as his personal cell phone for maybe a year or two. But now it is our office line. So 404-JUSTICE and butlertobin.com.
Did you guys buy that number from him for $1.50 or something? Or
I think that's been that was his first contribution to the firm, as far as I know. There's been many since.
I know him very well. We were actually in a referral group together for about a year.
I think y'all were in a B&I group, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I think you guys got up way too early in the morning for me to join that one.
Kind of like today, you know?
Absolutely.
It didn't stop.
Well, I know we have another guest patiently waiting in the studio, but if time permitting, I'm going to circle back around. I got to ask you about Lindsey Graham and what's going on in the election there. But Emily, who's up next?
Yes, we have Lance Gowans. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being so quiet and patient with us. And he earned his Bachelor of Arts degree from the Georgia State University. Lance graduated from John Marshall Law School in 2007. In 2015, he reestablished his firm, the Gowans Law Firm, LLC, in Atlanta, Buckhead area of Georgia. Lance's areas of practice are domestic relations and family law, bankruptcy, criminal law, and real estate litigation. So you do a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
And him and his wife, Tracy, live with their six children. In Swanee, Georgia. Yeah.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, we finally figured out how it works.
Do you ever figure out how it works?
After six, you figure out how it works.
Yeah, we quit. So tell me a little bit how you got into law and what you're doing today.
I always had an interest in the law. Even as a kid, I'd read mystery novels. Those were my favorite. I used to watch the old Perry Mason reruns on TBS. Now I really just enjoy helping people with their real life problems. I know it's not always as interesting as a John Grisham novel, but it is more rewarding.
Sure, sure. Well, good. And how long have you been practicing law?
I've been practicing since 2008. I started working in a domestic relations firm, and then I ended up partnering with the individual that I was working with, and we moved up to Cumming, Georgia, and then recently I moved back down to Buckhead.
Gotcha. Wow. So what made the change?
A lot of different things. It was just the economy really hit hard. Well, my former partner used to say he always felt that divorce was recession-proof, but it certainly wasn't depression-proof. So what we found was it was just people didn't have any money to, there was nothing to fight over, and they just stayed married.
That's hard.
Basically, is what happened.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, actually. Yeah.
Which really wasn't a good situation, because a lot of times you had couples who, the only reason they were married is because they didn't feel they could afford to break apart. Mm-hmm. So then you also had an increase in things like domestic violence and those kinds of issues, which are far more tragic than just getting a divorce.
Sure, absolutely. So you practice these areas of law. What's your favorite area that you focus on?
I do mostly domestic relations. I have kind of refocused things onto the criminal area. I fell into them mostly helping other clients where I'd help them in other issues. They come back and like, you know, hey Lance, I'm in a pinch. Can you help me out?
Sure.
And I found I really enjoy doing the criminal defense. So it's starting to pick up a little bit in that area too.
That's good. That's great. Can you tell me like one of your I guess you can't really mention names, but one of your favorite cases?
I don't know if it was my favorite case, but it was maybe my most interesting story. Was a couple of years ago, I had a lady come in, and she was from Haiti, and she was completely convinced that her husband had put a voodoo hex on her, and actually wanted me to seek a TPO against her husband to force her husband to remove the hex. And it became very real for her because apparently her husband went to the local Atlanta witch doctor who didn't have quite the proper mojo, if you will. So he actually traveled back to Haiti to use the Pope witch doctor. And that's when she was really scared. And for her, it was really serious.
Wow.
Eventually, I got her to realize that it probably wasn't a hex on her. And we were able to get a pretty good result in our divorce.
Well, that's good. That is really interesting.
That is. We've never heard that story before.
It's just
that's a new one.
I'm probably the only one who has a voodoo hex story, but it was really interesting.
Can you give out that doctor's number? Is he still here in Atlanta? Yeah.
Well, apparently the real doctor you need to talk to is in Haiti. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like you still did a good job, even though it was the craziest thing. And, you know, you got what you needed for the client, or she got what she needed, which is great.
It did. It worked out good for her, and it was really kind of a sad situation, but it still was my most interesting story so far.
Sure. So what keeps you motivated day to day?
I enjoy
besides the voodoo. Sorry.
Not so much on the voodoo, but I enjoy helping people, and I enjoy, especially in domestic relations, I think it's a different area in the law in that you're focused less on what happened, and you're more focused on what's going to happen in the future. So sometimes you have to think outside of the box. One of the issues, just that same case, was the couple had moved down from New York, so they had a house here in Atlanta with substantial amount of equity because they sold their, you know, $500,000, $600,000 two-room bungalow in New York and bought a nice house in Gwinnett County. So trying to work out a situation where, because the mom was disabled, my client was disabled, where they wouldn't have to sell the house right now because there was no way she could afford to live and support herself if they sold the house because she didn't have any income to be able to stay in that house until the children graduated high school, and then they would sell the house and divide the money at that time. So that was something that you couldn't really get a judge to do.
Sure.
But it's something we were able to work out. So I think that's where, in domestic cases particularly, I like to think maybe a little bit outside the box to find a solution that's going to work for the family and less about what is the case law or the statute say should happen.
And I'm sure that each case is completely unique in their own, you know, way.
It is. And I think Judge Warren Davis in Gwinnett County, he has this little spiel every time, you know, encouraging people to go out and talk. And, you know, basically the parties have the ability to use a scalpel to figure out what they want to do. The court just has a hammer and a chisel. And
sure.
somebody's going to walk out of that courtroom unhappy if the judge has to decide.
Right.
And if you can find something that you can live with, which you usually can, you're going to be far better off in the long run.
Lance, obviously you've been at this for a while. What tips would you give some up-and-coming attorneys in, you know, entering the profession?
I think you need to have a good network of attorneys. I've found getting to know the attorneys on the other side and realizing they're not your enemy. Yes, they're your adversary in this case, but when the case is over, you're still going to see them in bar meetings. You're still going to see them at CLEs, and it's good to have that relationship with them. So when you do have a case with them down the road, you can have an open communication, and a lot of times attorneys can work things out over the phone easier than, you know, going to court in a hearing. And I think it's also important because you'll meet people like Ken or Alex or Mike, where they do things that I don't do. I can reach out to them and say, hey, you know, Ken, I got this case, and this is, maybe you can help me out on this, or I can refer it to you.
Right.
But if nothing else, you know, what's the rule on X or Y, or what's Judge Jones like or Judge Smith like, which is important to know.
Now, when you ask them these questions, do you get billed, or is that free advice?
I've never been
from
billed.
From a fellow attorney.
I've never been billed, and I've always found every attorney I've ever reached out to been more than helpful and always willing to help.
I think it's unique, we've learned from the show, is that in business, being business radio, a lot of business, it's more of a competitive atmosphere and nature. But I think in the law profession, it seems to be more that, I don't know if it's because of the model or the need of the specialty, but, you know, you can only spin so many plates, right? And so if you're in your lane, you really have to seek someone that knows that area of law. Yes or yes?
I would agree with that. And I think, too, with attorneys, a lot of times it's like you see like an NFL football game. During the game, they're going at each other 100%, but after the game, they meet in the center of the field, and they're shaking hands, and they're praying together. I think attorneys are a lot like that. In court, obviously, we're adversaries. We're going 100%. But when it's all over, you know, we're still can be friends or be collegial with each other.
Right. And on that note, normally we don't talk politics, but I do want to ask about Lindsey Graham. But first, but speaking of this issue of, working together, it seemed like back in the day, Congress used to do that fairly well, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on it? Why have we kind of lost that? To Lance. I mean, a little kind of off topic. Emily's like, we don't talk politics here.
I mean, I don't know. When I was in law school, I had a great opportunity to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and afterward, we got to meet with Justice Thomas. It was just a fabulous individual. And at that time, it was an issue of bringing cameras into the Supreme Court building so they could be filmed in public eye. And Justice Thomas was opposed to it, and he made the comment, and I think it explains a lot of the problems now in our political world,
right.
Is that he said there are people that are the nicest people in the world, and then somebody turns a camera on them, and they just turn 180 degrees into a different person. And I think we live in a world where, I mean, everybody has a smartphone, so
right.
We're always on show. If you're a political person or a public figure, you can't go anywhere without somebody filming you, and I think it's... they're more into soundbite politics than, say, you know, meeting with each other. And even a lot of people think, well, backroom meetings are a bad thing. Well, backroom meetings aren't necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes the people who have to make decisions need to talk about things that the rest of us really don't need to know.
Well, off the record, and so they can have that open dialogue and that conversation. But you're right. I think we're just more guarded, right, because of all of the media, personal and the traditional media.
That and I think they just like the attention of being on TV.
Exactly.
That plays a role with a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So that's a great answer.
Yeah. So let our listeners know once again how to reach out to your firm and get in touch.
You can reach me on the internet, www.gowanslaw.com, or my office number, 678-648-7470.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Rich, I will let you ask that question.
That burning question, yeah.
Burning, yeah.
Well, just because we're thinking with the race coming up, we're going to invite some folks in on some of our other shows that are running for office. But so what's Lindsey's take and what's your role, I guess, there?
Yeah, I worked for him, geez, now at this point, years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I'll just tell you, he's one of the most down-to-earth person. And you know, as a younger guy, when I was working for him, I had one of the best experiences, and it was a jumping-off point to working for some TV stations, which led me to being a lawyer.
Right.
So coming from New Jersey, the maybe the birthplace of political corruption, I am cynical on some degree, but I give guys like Lindsay and Ken and anyone else who has ran for a public office all the credit in the world, because you open up your friends, your family, yeah, and yourself, your loved ones, to scrutiny that probably is unnecessary to a large degree. So you know, my two cents is that you know, these people trying to make our country better deserve, regardless of their views and their opinions,
right,
you don't hate these folks. So you might disagree with them, but you know, give them their due. And for Lindsay, as a veteran, as well as a career politician, and I don't mean that in a bad way, I give him a lot of credit, and I hope he does well. In terms of my vote, I can't tell you who I'm voting for, because I don't know.
All right, good answer. So we'd like to kind of wrap things up, if you will, by just maybe going round table, unless you have some...
No, I was just going to say, I absolutely know the title will be some sort of how we help people, you know. Yeah. But the other thing is, you know, you really got to watch what you say.
Yep.
Because, I mean, yeah, you could, like he said, you can open yourself up and they can take one blip of what you say,
right,
completely out of context, and then, you know, make it a completely different story. So I think the attorneys do a great job here stopping people from representing them in the media.
Well, that's actually a question I made a note earlier. Maybe just whoever wants to maybe take this question, is there has been that theme of warning, and your role seems to be of keeping your client. Thank you. This word out of the media. But is there a case where they have a great story, they have a great persona, and it can help sway the public opinion?
Well, certainly, but you want to sway the 12 people or the mediator or whoever it is that resolves the case first. Once you're done, unless there's a confidentiality clause or non-disparagement clause, as often happens in high-profile cases, they're free to talk to the media about it. But you don't want to have them have the clip out of context that they have to explain, because if you're explaining, then you're in a problem mode.
Yeah.
You want them to tell the story. And as Mike said, you know, he's represented great personal injury clients that have wonderful stories. I'm sure your sky jumper would have had a great story had you gone to a jury. I like you, Emily, am not going to jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
Nope.
That's where the story needs to be told, because you don't want it piecemealed and you don't want it taken out of context.
I've often thought I should, my carry-on should be a parachute. I mean, wouldn't that be a good idea to have your carry-on be a parachute? But people might be a little bit nervous if they saw you carrying that on board, right?
Or a helmet.
right. So let's, if it's okay with you, we'd like to maybe go around and just ask y'all, when you're not wearing your attorney hat, when you're off the clock, so to speak, what kind of motivates you?
What's your favorite thing to do?
Yeah, favorite thing to do, some, you know, hobby or a passion or a group you're involved in. I'll kind of just give you a moment to kind of think that through, but maybe a, you know, a mentor or a book or author, any of those topics, but something besides, you know, your attorney hat. Yeah.
Ken, you want to start?
Well, I've got, as I mentioned, I had two children during my last campaign. My youngest is 4 and a half. He got in my bed at 4:30 this morning and got me ready for this show. And my oldest is 6 and is starting first grade tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So they keep me busy. We like to go up to North Carolina, where we were this past weekend, where it was literally 25 degrees cooler than it is in Atlanta.
Yes.
And we like hiking and swimming, and you know, basically I run around after them. The things that I used to do before I was married and have children, I've long since forgotten.
I'm sure with 6 children, that's probably...
I'm stunned.
I know, exactly. He's just here to get out of the house or whatever. Yeah, he wasn't even scheduled to be on the show. Yeah,
that's my escape plan.
And you look so rested.
I know, right?
I think they all take shifts at keeping you up at night. Like, I swear they do.
Fortunately, anyway. Mine are past the 4 and 6 year age. Our youngest is 9 and our oldest is starting at University of North Georgia
in
a couple of weeks. So.
And for 6 children, you look so young.
Oh, thank you.
But, so what is it that you like to do?
Yeah.
Well, my my youngest son plays on a traveling soccer team, so my weekends are pretty much barreled up with that. But I also play on a men's adult baseball team. It's an old man's league for such old guys who tend to have a good time. But mostly it's just family and staying busy, chasing around the kids.
Got it. Alex?
It's kind of a new one for me this year. I started working towards my pilot's license this year.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and so it's always been sort of a dream of mine to go ahead and do that. Also, I had no idea that when you have it, you can go rent a plane by the hour from an airport and just fly wherever you want.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
So that was a big draw to it too, just to be able to pick up and pretty much go wherever you feel like going.
I'm going to call you.
I know somebody will jump out of the plane for you.
Yeah. Alex is going to fly us all to Haiti and get a visit with a doctor over there. Yeah.
There you go.
That's so cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that I wanted to be a radio show host.
Yeah, and now
and here you are.
And here I am. Yeah. Last but not least, Mike?
Yeah, I had a good voyeur friend of mine actually about a year ago tell me a story about his life and kind of starting his practice, where he said that in 1 year he had... He was married, so he started his firm, was married, and had a child, and he said it was the most stressful year of his life.
I'm kidding.
I've started my practice. I got engaged about a month or two ago, and we're moving in 10 days. So I'm getting there on terms of the busy year. So I wish
have a statewide campaign at the same time. Yeah, and a pregnancy.
And I'm two kids behind you. Kind of, yeah.
Throw that in the mix.
Yeah, but I try my best to play some basketball and see friends every once in a while as best I can.
Sure, sure. Well, those are great answers, and it's good to see the human side of all of our guests today, even though they're wonderful experts. And we appreciate everybody being here today, and we appreciate, again, our sponsors. And thank you so much for listening. This is Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices signing out.